Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of May 17, week 4 of our study of the Apostle Peter's letters to the church. I'm Dan Nygaard. Last Sunday, we celebrated moms and honored all women with a Mother's Day taco bar brunch at Mas Fuego's restaurant. While folks were munching on breakfast tacos and breakfast burritos, I took a few minutes to tell the story of a mom, of a woman, who experienced a lot of suffering because she was a mom and a woman. I told the story from the Bible book of Genesis of an Egyptian woman who was a slave of Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. The Bible doesn't tell us how Hagar became Sarah's slave, and Genesis doesn't really comment upon the morality, the ethics of slavery in general. Hagar becomes an important character in the Bible record because Sarah, her master, her owner, could not have children. Out of desperation to produce children, Sarah decided she would give her slave, Hagar, to her husband, Abraham, to be Abraham's wife, in the hope that through her slave, through her possession, Sarah might build up a family for Abraham. Yes, the ethics, the morality of this relationship is not Christian in any sense. It is not a modern ethic. However, this rather ugly story about Hagar and her mistreatment is a commentary on the destructiveness of slavery, and it is certainly a commentary on the abuse that women and the abuse that mothers have often experienced throughout human history. The evil of slavery inflicted suffering on Hagar. The evil of slavery infected Sarah and Abraham as well. Indeed, it polluted the relationship between Sarah and Abraham. Well, that was the story we looked at last week for Mother's Day. Today we return to the Apostle Peter's letters to the church. And in his letter, one of his key focuses is how Christians, how the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the assembly, the community of Christians, how ought they respond to suffering and to evil? If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the New Testament letter of 1 Peter, way at the very, almost the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, the Apostle Peter writes, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, we pray, Jesus and Jesus alone, may he be exalted. The Apostle Peter wrote to the first century church, a tiny little house church or house churches meeting in various places in Rome and around the Roman, particularly the Eastern Roman world of the first century. And he writes to the 21st century church too, this key principle, this big idea. The Apostle Peter challenges us, repay evil with blessing. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." The Greek word translated blessing here is eulogia. Our modern concept of a eulogy at a funeral or memorial service comes from this Greek term, this Greek idea of blessing. Eulogia was a term that identified the bestowal of good on a person, particularly spiritual good resulting from the gospel, but also material good. Eulogia includes the concept of congratulations. The Apostle Peter commanded, instructed the early church. He teaches Christians everywhere in every age, respond to evil with blessing. This is the big idea. This is the principle of the Apostle Peter's letter. Followers of Jesus Christ respond to evil. They respond to suffering with blessing. Our culture, our materialist culture's response to evil is to be self-protective and to lash out in attack. This cultural tendency has been amplified on social media. Social media, in so many ways, has become a toxic cesspool. The Journal of Computer-Mediated Communication ran an article, research done by Alan Zeusner and Abraham Levy. They analyzed 7 million posts by 700,000 different Twitter users, X users. Their analysis revealed the reaction when users are exposed to a toxic post from people on their own political side, identified as in-group people, compared with the reaction to posts from people on the opposing side, identified as the out-group. Zeusner and Levy concluded that exposure to toxicity from your own side encourages similar behavior, to display loyalty and to signal belonging. However, toxic posts from the opposing side triggered defensive reactions, prompting users to hit back, to produce their own toxic posts. And so social media has become a toxic cesspool. Perhaps here is an opportunity for Christians to reach out, to evangelize. Get on social media and respond to toxic posts, not with your own toxic post or retweeting someone else's toxic post, but respond to a toxic post with blessing. This is what the Apostle Peter commanded. Now, he had no idea of social media. Yet Peter was clear. Christians must repay evil with blessing. Blessing is the bestowal of good, particularly spiritual good, resulting from the gospel. Christ followers are called to bless. We are called to be quick to compliment and slow to criticize. Christ followers are called to be quick to encourage, slow to correct. We are commanded to be quick to cheer, to be cheerleaders, and reluctant to identify, to point out flaws. We are to be quick to empathize and very careful about misinterpreting what others are doing or why they are doing it. We are to be quick to embrace, but reluctant to ostracize. Christ followers are called to be quick to forgive and keep no record of wrongs. Becoming sources of blessing is the process by which the church, the ecclesia, individual Christians, and more importantly, the Christian community becomes the royal priesthood the Apostle Peter spoke about in chapter 2 when he said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen people." We are chosen to bless others. A royal priesthood. Only the royalty can bless. A holy nation. God's special possession, that is, God's peculiar people. When the world gets toxic, God calls his people to bless. The way Christians become people who bless others is by giving up fear. Peter commands us, do not fear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, "Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Literally, the Greek here reads something like this: "But the fear of them, fear you all not." That is, second person plural, all of you speaking to the church, fear not. "Nor be you all troubled." Peter is commanding us, do not be frightened of the things that frighten this world. And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 8. "Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy." There's a verse for Tucker Carlson. "Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it." Most everyone understands that when people are frightened, they do one of two things. Generally, they do one of two things. They either flee or lash out. It was the fear of having no children that prompted Sarah to use and abuse her slave Hagar. And then, when Hagar became pregnant, Sarah's fear prompted her to become even more abusive of Hagar. In stark contrast of the experience of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, Peter echoes Jesus' repeated command, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." For example, Luke chapter 12, verse 4, Jesus says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more." Well, that's easier said than done. Most of us are understandably terrified of those who might kill or damage our bodies or ourselves. And we Christians should be more alert to how politicians and others use that fear to manipulate us and to get us to think in ways that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus challenged his followers, "Fear not." When I look at the church, I see a lot of frightened, fearful people. Peter, in his letter to the church, challenges us, do not be controlled by fear. Peter challenged the first century church, and he challenges the 21st century church. Seek peace. Pursue it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Now, the Greek word for peace here is eirenein. It means tranquility, concord, unity, felicity, brotherhood. It means blessing and good. Peter's use of this Greek term for peace, eirenein, is undoubtedly built on his own Hebrew-Jewish concept of peace, shalom. Shalom means completion, fulfillment. It means entering a state of wholeness and unity. Shalom means restored relationship with our Creator and with our fellow human beings. Peter tells us, seek shalom and pursue it. And his letter includes the concept that humility is the path to peace. Humility is to consider others more important than oneself. Humility was a scorned concept in the Greco-Roman world, the Greco-Roman culture to which Peter was writing his letter. Humility is often a scorned concept in our 21st century world as well. Yet Peter identified humility as a countercultural distinctive of the church, of the ecclesia, of the community of Christ, and of individual believers. It is a distinctive that should radiate from the way we live our lives. Humility in the first century proved to be culturally attractive. In subsequent centuries, humility proved to be socially and politically disruptive. Peter writes that we should seek peace and pursue it. And he gives us this hope that the Spirit of glory will rest on us when we bless those who curse us, when we bless in response to our suffering, when we bless and pray for our persecutors. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But rejoice, Peter writes, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There is the hope. The Spirit of glory rests upon Christians who bless their enemies. Peter challenges us to live in anticipation of the joy we are going to experience at Jesus' glorious return. C.S. Lewis wrote that when Jesus returns in glory and power, the vast majority of humans alive at that point who witness that cataclysmic event will be terrified. Peter reminds us that we are going to be filled with joy at Jesus' glorious return. Peter challenges us to live in anticipation of that joy, even in the midst of our suffering. Peter also points out that when we are insulted because we proclaim allegiance to Christ, that insult is an indication of divine blessing. Those who suffer because of their identification with Christ can be assured that glory rests upon them. Today, in sub-Saharan Africa, Christians are targeted, hunted, and killed by Islamists. Peter's claim is their suffering, because of their identification with Jesus Christ, indicates that the Spirit of glory rests upon them. For centuries, Christians in the Middle East have suffered because of their identification with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter wrote that suffering is an indication that the Spirit of glory rests upon them. Reports out of China tell us that in the last dozen years ago, the persecution of the church and of Christians in China has increased markedly. The Apostle Peter writes that their suffering is an indication that divine blessing, divine glory rests upon them. We Christians in the West are quite spoiled. We tend to become indignant at the slightest suffering, and we oh so often fail to bless those who cause our suffering. The Apostle Peter challenges us to rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.